What's shaking, my friends? Welcome to the Trembling EMT podcast. I am your host, the Trembling EMT, and this is my Parkinson's journey.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie, for coming on to the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So I always start with, this is weird because this is the first time I'm interviewing a caregiver. So because normally I ask a person what's their Parkey card, which is basically the diagnosis, how long have they had it, well, medications. So basically, what's your husband's Parkey card?
He was diagnosed just about 10 years ago at 48. His medicines right now, he's wearing the patch. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. That works really well for him. But he's been on, I want to say, just about everything. He kind of maxed out on his medications in 2018. 2018 was kind of a rough year. And he's had DBS since then. So just a year out of DBS. He had the deep brain stimulation in January of 2019.
Nice.
Yeah.
And now what was his first symptoms like? How did he find out? Or how did you guys find out?
Right. He had a very slight tremor in his right arm, and it would kind of come and go. So it was exacerbated sometimes when he was under stress or anxiety, or when it was resting. And, you know, we both said, I got to go get that checked out. But then it would go away and then it would come back. So it was a little bit of that. He also was in a really rough motorcycle accident 10 years earlier and had a bunch of surgeries on that side of his body. So he kept thinking, oh, it's probably just a pinched nerve or something from one of the surgeries. He's a huge water skier. And one of his buddies said, I'm not going to go out with you. I'm not going to drive the boat for you until you go get that looked at. So that's kind of what pressured him in. Of course, all his friends, and when water skiing was on the line, he was going to go to the doctor. Well, I asked him, no chance. But he went and probably went through what a lot of patients go through, just a ton of tests, because, you know, there's really no test for Parkinson's, or at least there wasn't at that time. So they just basically had to rule everything else out. And then it came time to, he had to take the Simonette pill, and if it worked, that was the sign, the
defining moment.
So that was kind of his journey to hearing about it or learning about it.
Now, how is your journey through all that, through the diagnosis? Because for me, it took me a year to get finally diagnosed, and once I started, because my grandmother had Parkinson's, so and being in healthcare, I kind of knew the symptoms. So, but to get that defining, yes, it's that. It was a long year, and a frustrating year. No, especially knowing. But how is it not knowing and just being on the sidelines from your perspective?
Well, it was interesting because at the time, like I said, it was a slight tremor. So he still felt really good. He still felt healthy. We, you know, our lives weren't disrupted at all. And the scary part was, for us at first, was all the tests that they were doing to kind of rule Parkinson's out. You know, we're like, oh my gosh, what if it's that? What if it's that? And we really didn't think Parkinson's. His primary care doctor said it could be, and he was like, well, you don't want that, you don't want it to be that. so you know, we just had a lot of tests, and it was just a lot of trying really hard to be patient, which is really difficult. You know, it's frustrating, you probably know from your schedule, to have constant doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
So that was the first onset of the disruption in our life.
Yeah, and then not getting any results either is the, it's a double-edged sword, because you're like, okay, it's not that, but the frustration builds because then you're like, what is it?
Right, exactly. So it was, you know, for everyone, it was a really tough diagnosis. And I think that the toughest thing is once you are diagnosed, you have all these questions and there's just really no answers.
Yeah.
You know, it's how long till the, what's going to happen next? And they don't know. It's so different for everybody.
I think that also my wife, I think it's one of her, might be one of her worst things. Cause every time I go to the doctors, I come back and she's like, so what did they say? Or did you tell them this? I said, yeah, I tell them. What did they say? They said, okay. Like they, it's me going and updating the doctor. Like it's not me going to find out where am I going. It's me telling the doctor, this is where how I progress, or this is where I see, it's more of a, like when you go to your mechanic, this is what's going on. This is what's wrong. This is what's happening.
Right.
Which is, I think, one of the most frustrating parts about the Parkinson's, because most other diseases, the doctors give you a roadmap and can predict, whereas right. with Parkinson's, they can't.
No, there's not. It's always a surprise. And in the beginning, whenever my husband have health issues or something going on, we would learn more about the, they'd be like, well, that can be because of this Parkinson's, or the medication that he's on does this and this. So the first couple years, you know, we didn't go straight to Parkinson's, but the doctor's like, yeah, it's related. Now kind of in the second half of this journey, we just assume everything is the Parkinson's. I'm like, I'm sure it's just related to Parkinson's. We'll talk to the doctor when we go.
Yeah. And it's funny because that's one of my first episodes was like, How do I manage myself? Like when I have an issue, do I go to the doctor? Do I go to my regular doctor? Do I go to the Parkinson's doctor? Like,
right.
Like what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah. You never know. I will say we have an amazing neurologist and movement specialist. We love him. And I chat with him a lot on email. Like, hey, this happened. Is that going to be all right? You know?
And that's one thing I tell my listeners, if they're listening and they don't have a movement disorder specialist, they need a movement disorder specialist. It makes a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely. We, when he was first diagnosed, you know, we didn't have a neurologist or even really know where to go to next. And, his primary care suggested a neurologist, and we went there and he was great, and he got him on his medication, which is could be a whole nother topic of, you know, how you manage that and what happens when you're not quite on the right dose. But he managed us for the first couple years, and truly we kind of maxed him out, and it was just fate that put our new doctor in our lap. And so we knew we needed to make a change. We just had no idea where to begin.
Yeah.
And somebody recommended him through, not even with Parkinson's, through a whole different thing. And we went, and he's amazing. So we're really fortunate. So I would definitely encourage people to just, if they're not with someone that they feel extremely confident in, although it takes a bunch of time, just find the right one.
Yes, and I always tell people, just because the doctor doesn't, it's not working for you or things aren't going well, doesn't mean they're a bad doctor. There's just not a bad fit for you and what you need.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always tell people, and it sounds like a bad analogy or horrible analogy. I said, treat your doctors like you treat your mechanics. Because if you go to your mechanic and you tell him to fix something and he doesn't fix it right, you don't keep going back to the same mechanic. You go to a different mechanic.
Right. Or a hairdresser.
Or a hairdresser. Yeah, that's even better.
Right, because that's a one and done.
Yeah. You don't give them a second try. Oh, man. So Parkinson's from the, you started an Instagram called Wife of a Parkie.
Yes.
How did that come about?
That came about because I was finding, as a caregiver, I'm really involved in my husband's care, kind of when he was diagnosed and he had to adjust and accept this diagnosis and what it was going to mean for him. I kind of made a commitment to be the other half of that and take on everything else that he's got to deal with, what is physically and emotionally and psychologically happening to him. And I'll take care of the scheduling, the medications, the pharmacist, managing the healthcare benefits, that sort of thing. So anyway, so I try to help a lot with that. Take one thing off of his plate related to this disease. And the first kind of long story, Eric, sorry, but
that's, you know, okay. When, that's when more material for me. Don't worry about it.
When he was first diagnosed and we got him on the right medication, which is just trial and error. But once he was, you know, our life honestly didn't change that much. We were like, wow, we can do this. We can deal with this. And, you know, we would go back for our appointments and maybe adjust something here or there. Then my husband was diagnosed with skin cancer, which was extremely aggressive. And he had to have some reconstructive surgery and then radiation for about 5 days a week for 8 weeks. Wow. That was insanely tough for us. And we, you know, missed a lot of neurology appointments in that time. And when we finally went back to our original neurologist, he was like, "What the heck? Where have you been?" And so we told him, and he said, "Yeah, that's a result of the medication you're on." So kind of from that point has been a little bit of a struggle for me in terms of kind of what's next, what's going to happen next. Because then we got him on the right medications and we switched doctors. We had a phenomenal doctor. We had another good ride for a couple years. And then he started declining really quick. And he was maxed out on all of his medications. And that's when we had the deep brain surgery. And it was just a lot. You know, I try to be the positive person. I try to manage all of that, kind of tell him it's going to be okay. Or we have a great surgeon and kind of be that person. And sometimes you need an outlet. And I have amazing family and friends. And I don't hold back from them, but I also, you know, don't, you know, share everything that's going on or every thought that goes through my mind.
Yes.
So I was looking for a support group, and my best friend, who happens to also be a therapist, was like, "Girl, you need to go to a support group." And for me, that was just one more thing to do, one more appointment to go to.
One more thing to juggle.
I couldn't do like a face-to-face schedule meeting. To me, that was just more stressful. Somewhere else I had to be, another commitment I had to make. So I found a couple online, and they were not, and this is probably my mistake, but they were not onset or young onset Parkinson's. There was the whole gamut. And then another group I joined was for Parkinson's patients, or for Parkinson's Parkies. And believe it or not, the Parkie group was actually the more uplifting and positive. And the caregivers, to me, was just extremely negative and depressing. I had more anxiety after I left those. I don't know if it was the, you know, kind of hiding behind who you are online, but the statements they were making were, to me, were just heartbreaking, the way they were talking about their people with Parkinson's. And I just was like, oh my gosh, is this my future? Like, is this who I'm going to become? Am I going to become so bitter and truly sometimes nasty about my husband? Like, I just couldn't imagine. So I wasn't getting the support that I needed. And I don't really know what the, you know, the final straw was. I think for me, it was somebody joined the group who had engaged and getting married in a few months, and her fiance was diagnosed, and the group was like, oh my God, you gotta get out, just save yourself.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. So I had to close it down. I couldn't do that anymore. And I started the Instagram as just a, I'm a wife of someone with Parkinson's. I can relate to what you're going through, but I'm also extremely hopeful. I'm extremely positive. I feel like we have been very fortunate. We've had some rough times with Parkinson's, but we're still living our life and we're still in love and we're still happy. You know, sometimes scared of the future, but I just wanted to kind of be that outlet or post some information that that I thought was more helpful than what I was receiving online.
Wow.
So that's kind of it.
Yeah, that's and that's one of the reasons why I started a lot of the stuff that I did, because we went looking for answers or for help and really didn't find what I needed. And I was like, well, I'm going to make my own, because it's only going to benefit me. And it's been a weird and fun 2 years, if that makes any sense.
Because
I got diagnosed in February of 2018, 2 weeks after my 40th birthday.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So, and
how have your 2 years been? Have they been pretty even keeled, or are you on the roller coaster also?
They've been. So I got diagnosed in February. Got put on Pramipexole. Been on Pramipexole since. And then just this January, I started Sinemet or carbidopa levodopa.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, 2018, February, got diagnosed, went looking for, so let me start this again. Diagnosed in February 18, I'm a pretty laid back person and I take everything in stride. Mm-hmm. And after being a year of going back and forth, I finally went to the movement disorder specialist. She's like, you have Parkinson's. I'm like, all right, what medications do I take? She went through the gamut of the five. She's like, there's five different medications, types of medications. I'm only going to suggest four. This is why. And she went in depth. Like, so I'm like, all right, let's start with the Pramipexole. Mm-hmm. I got home. My wife's like, had a ton of questions. And I was just like, I don't know. I didn't ask anything. So that didn't go over well.
So, right. I imagine not.
So my next visit, I'm like, I have a bunch of questions. And my, at the time I met with the PA, and she's like, yeah, you're one of the very few people that have walked in here. I've told them they have Parkinson's and literally had no questions. I was like, yeah, that's kind of the person who I am. She's like, what does the wife want to know? I said, she wants to know this. So we went, got answered the questions, and then went looking for resources of like exercise and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. aside from like the Marcus J. Fox Foundation, the Parkinson Foundation, there was nothing local to my area.
Right.
So that was my first struggle. And then I called my sister to tell her what was going on and catch her up. And she's like, and I'm complaining and ranting. She's like, you should start a podcast. I was like, I should do what? She's like, a podcast. And she had a compelling reason why to start a podcast. I had no compelling reason why not to, because it was like, made sense.
Hey.
So I started the podcast and quickly found a following and people that, like, I had a friend, she messaged me and she's like, and I've known her since grade school. I've been friends with her since the fifth grade. And she's like, she wrote me on an Instagram. She's like, thank you. Now I know what my father's been going through all these years. And I was just like, wait, what? I was just like, oh my
gosh.
Yeah. Like it was, It was, yeah. I didn't even know how to describe the experience. And after that, I was just like, this is something I have to keep doing because it's just, it was cathartic for me, but it was also helping other people.
Yeah, I think I can relate totally. That's just kind of the reason I started my Instagram, because I just thought of that poor girl whose fiance was just diagnosed and she's getting all this information. And then from people that have been through it, they're telling her, get help while yeah. you can, save yourself. And, you know, that's just not an option for some people. You can't just get out. If you, you know, have a father like your friends who has Parkinson's, or a friend or a husband. So I wanted to be real, but be like, we can do this. There's support. There's,
yes.
there's a lot of help.
And so. Like you referenced to earlier, the gambit of other things that you can be diagnosed. Parkinson's is kind of winning the diagnosed lottery, because yeah. it's the not that it's not terminal or like you can't die from it, because some of the complications you can, but the mortality rate for Parkinson's compared to anything else is, I think, great, for lack of a better description.
Right. So, right.
And I had.
Yeah, I'm just really hopeful for the future. I mean, my husband had the deep brain surgery, and it's been amazing for him physically. I mean, it only helps with the physical symptoms.
Yes.
But that alone is huge. Just his ability to participate again. And I think that then that gives him so much confidence. And
yes, it's that vicious cycle that...
Yeah.
Because if the physical brings the emotional exacerbates the physical, and it just and it snowballs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's definitely. The one thing that you can attest to this, that the amount of Parkinson's has been around for a long time.
Right.
But in the past, I'd say 20 years, the advancement and the technologies and the stuff that's coming out in the research that's been produced, it's amazing. It's like it's gone leap and bounds in the past 20 years, I say, and maybe less.
Right. Yep. So I just remain hopeful. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my approach to it.
Because my grandmother had it, and there's stuff that I've been talking about on my podcast, and my family has listened in, and my aunt's like, I wish we'd have known that back then. And this was, I was 15.
Yeah.
15 or 16 when, so yeah, almost 20 years ago.
Right.
And this, and a lot of the stuff that I talk about, my aunt and my mom is like, oh, that wasn't around. This wasn't this. And I'm like, yeah, it's a different. And was one of the things that was hard for me, because when I first got diagnosed, I knew the end stages. I knew the worst of it from my right. grandmother. So at first I was just like, I knew what I was going to, my ending point.
Right.
But not realizing that ending point isn't going to be the same because of the stuff that's out there now.
Exactly.
And that's what people need to understand. It's not a pretty disease. It's not a fun disease. But it's not what you think it is anymore. It's not like I always say, it's not my grandmother's Parkinson's. It's my Parkinson's. Right. And it's a lot different.
I like that.
All right, folks. Part one is in the bag. Let me know what you guys think. Remember, go follow her at Wife of a Parkie on Instagram, and stay tuned for part two. Talk to you guys later. As always, folks, thank you for listening. Much appreciated, taking time out of your busy schedule. Follow me on all my social media accounts, and I want to say a big thank you to my patrons for making this possible. Hope you're enjoying your swag. Keep moving forward, and God bless.